The texts all talk one way or another about obeying God, doing God's will, doing what He tells us. There are two words that begin the reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord. It's unfortunate, after so many centuries, we're not going to change it. The Lord is so abstract. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. That's His name. Thus says Adonai. It's His name. And the name is Yahweh. And the Jewish people stopped saying that little by little until now it's a millennial custom, but it wasn't always this way. However, we're not going to change it now. But it's important at least to know that it's not the Lord, whoever He is. He has a name, and He's given us His name. And so we call Him Father. That's His name, or Adonai, His name. And then He gives Himself two titles, your Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. That comes from Goel, Goelcha, your Redeemer, your Goel. The Gaal, from the verb Gaal, redeem. A Goel is somebody close to me, bound by blood, or at least by marriage, part of the clan. And he's responsible for me. If somebody kidnaps me, and they did that a lot in those days, like they're doing now again, all over the world, when God's presence is not recognized, we become animals. I mean, look at not just Mexico, but look at Mexico. Just the very popular way to make money is to kidnap somebody, demand a great ransom, and then start cutting off pieces of his fingers and ears to just remind everybody he's here and we've got him till they pay up. You see? Now, in this culture, a goyel would find those people, shoot them, and take the guy back. That's his job. He's the goyel. So, it isn't your Redeemer like it's your kinsman. I'm responsible for you. I've made myself your goyel. That name is already a prophecy. Because Jesus is our relative. If I were poor and starving, and my family were starving, and Jesus had some food, I could go in and steal it. Wouldn't break the law. The needs of my starving children are greater than that. I used to think that way just to realize He became human. Echad mimenu, the young Jews always said. He's one of us. Your goel. It's supposed to be the term that consoles us. He's the Almighty God, which will be the next term. But the first thing He says about Himself in this text, you see, Ani Adonai, Goelcha. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Goel. I'm your kinsman. I'm your relative. I'm responsible for you. If you have to go to debtor's prison, I've got to go around to the family and collect the money and get you out. That's, of course, why in the Mediterranean, there's such this accent on family. It goes back to the time when there were no cops. And so you relied on your family if you got in trouble. I don't know why, but I don't know if I swore. It illustrates what I'm trying to say. That's why I'm... All right. There was this, in a family of seven brothers, all crooks but the youngest one, who was a house painter, Camille Chahadi, a great friend of mine. He died. He turned into a saint, this guy, really. Anyway, they had one sister, Camilla, and they made sure that she married an only son in a wealthy family. All romance, of course. And so then the guy took off. So the clan gathered 120 men in one house to figure out what they're going to do. They got to find him first. And then what they're going to do to this guy when they get him, they're going to kill him. Camille stood up. He had guts, this guy. And he said, and he was probably among the younger, if not the youngest man there. He said, "You will not kill him. That is a sin before the face of God. You will not kill him. You want to beat him up a little bit? Okay. But that's as far as you can go." Well, Camilla was pregnant at the time, see. So while all this was going on, Camilla gave birth to a son. A daughter wouldn't have made much difference. But to a son, everything's fine again. The guy comes back, you know, and everything's fine. But you see, that's Goel. Somebody disgraced our sister. We're going to find him and kill him. That's not edifying either. But the, and God says over and over again, huh? "I am your Goel." That's the first thing in this little thing. And it's a word used so often in Isaiah, along with the next word. "I am the Kodesh of Israel." Kodesh means ineffable. Kodesh, it comes from, you don't need to know all the Semitic languages, but that does help a bit. You know, it comes from a Kadash. It means separate, different, not like anything else. That's why when God says, "You must be holy as I am holy," you must get out of that stuff. The anger, the sensuality, the ambition, the distraction, the self-centeredness. Be holy. Doesn't say be pious. Be holy. Get out of that. "Because I am ineffable and you will never know me unless you come to me and do what I tell you." He is the Kodesh. You know, the Holy One. The ineffable one. The unspeakable one. First he tells us that he's our Goel. Then he tells us he's ineffable. He doesn't do it the other way around because we'd be scared to death. First, "I'm your Goel." That word starts to be used of God when Adonai is talking to Moses in Egypt. "I'm your relative. I'm your Goel." Who? The creator of the universe. The ineffable. The unspeakable. The unimaginable. The unthinkable. The Kodesh. Isn't that amazing? Then, where did those two come together? In Jesus, who is literally, even physically, our Goel. He's my relative. He's the firstborn of many brethren. By baptism, we are physically joined to him. And by Eucharist. So he's our Goel. That means if I get in trouble, he's got to come and help me out. As I was getting ready for these texts, I thought, today I'm just going to talk about the power of these words that we hear all the time. So your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, goes in here and goes out here, you know, like a university lecture. University lecture is the process by which the notes of the professor become the notes of the student without passing through the mind of either. And so this, just, I am your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. All right, what's next? Instead of being just so awed, God, you know, and that is fulfilled because now he's got flesh and blood. God does. That's what Advent is all about. And yet, he is the Holy One, the Ineffable One. And that's why it's hard to get to know him, because it has to be on his terms. And so, between the Goel and the Kodesh, there's another word, draw, attract. You see, that's what he does for us. He makes himself attractive. We want to know him. And that desire is the work of the Holy Spirit. But it only comes if we pray. He has to have the time and the occasion to draw us until finally, you know, we go through lots of stuff, get rid of sin, get rid of sensuality, get rid of the imagination, and you know, and that costs. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. We can't do that. You know, it means crucifixion. But nobody can crucify themselves. Even if you got one hand, now you got nothing to, you know, you can't do it. The Holy Spirit has to do it. You see? And I promise you, this is the Holy One of Israel. I promise you, your descendants will be like the sand. They're not worried about abortion. It's a blessing. Many, many people, big family. It's a blessing. Your descendants will be like the sand, those born of your stock like its grains, their name never cut off or blotted from my presence. Their Shem, their name. Their reality. It's a tragedy if in a family, all of a sudden, nobody talks about Uncle Joe or somebody. Doesn't keep alive who he is. And God is promising, you come to me, you obey me, I have eternal life for you. But even in this life, I will give you the privilege of knowing me, and your name will never be cut off. Amen.